Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Your smart speakers, J. Will, celebrating this morning as though Duke just won the title. Just
because
UNC didn't.
Well, when they lose, we win.
Yeah, it's true.
That's what happens. And it's petty, Max, but life is petty.
That's why
okay.
It was so ridiculous the other day when you were like, who should I root for?
But you don't choose
who you root for. It just
happens.
But Max,
you have to understand, growing up in New Jersey, New York,
yeah.
Right, like I grew up kind of a Carolina fan, and then I got turned down to go to school there because they had a guy named Ronald Curry. So I ended up meeting Coach K, fall in love with the program, but they weren't really our rival. Like, right. we used to smack them back in the day. Maryland was more a rival. So it hasn't been until the last 15 years or so I've been out of school that the fans have been talking.
You misunderstand what I'm saying.
They took Ronald Curry.
Yeah.
I guess at the time, Ronald Curry was McDonald's guy, two-way athlete from the Carolinas. I mean, I guess.
He was from Virginia Beach, yeah.
Was it Virginia
Beach?
Yeah,
I think
that
Virginia Beach
right,
area.
Which
yeah.
is closer, I think. You know, and yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess Ronald
so
Curry was a dude,
way.
Though.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, you're misunderstanding. I don't mean that, like, oh, of course you have to root against UNC, which I do believe you do have to.
Absolutely, you got to. But I don't even think about it.
But what I'm saying is it's silly to even try to decide who to root for because you don't decide. It just happens.
Super silly.
Yeah,
like,
it happens.
Like, wait, is this the best for the conference? And then my mind went to, like,
no,
well, if we lost to the national championship team, does that make you feel better about your loss because they won it and the conference won it? But then, see, Key slapped me.
No.
Sometimes you need to be beep slapped.
I mean, if it's not your rival, then, yeah, great, win the championship because now we lost to the champions. But not if it's your rival.
Again, as I said before, I need UCLA to fall on their face in everything, including tennis, water polo, track.
Because you share the town with them.
I'm not thinking right. fall right on their face.
I got to tell you, seeing Michael Jordan sit there at the end of the game, oh, so good.
Yeah, like,
so
hey,
good. Stewing that, Mike.
You got to be smiling when they lose. You got to be smiling. You got to be happy and everything.
If you're from Duke, how about this for a transition? Know who else is from Duke? Quarterback of the New York Football Giants. At least for now. He's still the quarterback of the New York Football Giants. Daniel Jones, press conference on responding to John Mara's comments, the owner of the Giants, that the Giants ruined Daniel Jones so far. Listen to how Daniel Jones responds to that prompt.
My focus is on preparing myself, and I take, you know, full responsibility for how I've played. And we haven't won enough games. We haven't scored enough points. We haven't done things well enough. So, I take responsibility for that as a quarterback. You play, you know, a big role in those things. So, you know, that's what I'm focused on. I'm working on improving and making sure that myself, as well as the offense, as well as the team, is ready to go, and we're improving daily.
One, I hate hearing from owners other than Jerry Jones. The rest of them dudes.
That's Daniel.
I know,
Jones.
I'm just saying it's Daniel. But I hate hearing from owners when they talk about players. Then because Daniel Jones isn't going to say anything to go against the owner. And then when you talk about Daniel Jones, what he just said right there, I'm okay with that. At least he self-scouted himself enough to know that a lot of it is on his shoulders to turn things around. And he recognizes that, what are we in? April, what do we got, 2.5 weeks before the draft? That 2.5 weeks before the draft, anything can happen on draft day. He can be moved, and Kenny Pickett can all of a sudden be the starting quarterback. Or at least Tyrod Taylor could now step in. What if they did this, though, Max? They move on from Daniel Jones, draft a Kenny Pickett, and give a bridge with Tyrod Taylor until Kenny Pickett is ready.
Or Daniel they like Jones, someone in next year's draft, so they just go with Tyrod Taylor right now.
And move.
Someone likes Daniel Jones
Daniel
out there.
Jones.
How much do you think, like, okay.
Because that could, man, on draft day, wild stuff happens.
Go ahead, Jay.
No, I was going to say, I just love the fact that he took accountability. Right? Like, it would have been easy to deflect.
Man, when I know that my job is on the line.
That's what I'm saying. You got to own it.
I'm going to own
it. So my thing is Daniel Jones is saying the right thing. Plus, it's not his fault he was drafted so high by the Giants. I mean,
not at all.
It's not like they're the ones that made the decision. That's a Gettleman thing. So, but it doesn't take away from the fact that I'm not sure Daniel Jones is the guy. Even though he's saying the right things, doesn't mean he's the guy.
That's what I want to know, Key. Like, you are big on the, unless it's a superstar talent, they're going to be good anywhere, better in some places, right? But most guys need to be in the right environment, right situation.
Yeah, right environment, right situation is what gets a player to develop. And so, kicks that player to the next level.
So how much of it is the owners right? John Mara's right. We did not give this. And how much of this is on Daniel Jones? Like, do you think there's a quarterback in there that the Giants can unlock, or you think they're going to move on?
I'll know. Talk to me in October.
So you think there's still a chance then?
Because Brian Daboll is the X factor in coming over from Buffalo. What he was able to do, Josh Allen, if Brian Daboll was there, wasn't there, I don't know that Josh Allen was going to get $200-something million. I'm sorry. Because he wasn't headed in that direction for a couple years. And then all of a sudden, as they continued to work with him, the light switch came on. They hit the switch and the light came on. And all of a sudden, he becomes an MVP candidate. He takes him to the playoffs. He goes to the AFC Championship game. Now, all of a sudden, everybody thinks he's like a top 4 or 5 quarterback. Let's see what Daniel Jones looks – not Daniel Jones. Josh Allen looks like.
Without Daboll.
Without Daboll and Ken Dorsey calling plays. And let's see what Daniel Jones starts to look like as time goes on. Give me the middle of October.
But, Siki, you know what I'm worried? It's about what kind of foundation was poured. And for Josh Allen, he had a different foundation because he was around a culture that was – it helped them think outside the box about how they were going to run offense. And that matters, right? So how you get pre-programmed matters. And my thing is for Daniel Jones, can that just flip all of a sudden?
Yeah, and see, I take my own experience as a young player. Well, it was really on my rookie year, and I was dealing with Richie Kotite.
That's what I'm saying. If you had dealt with that for 3 years, though, Key, that might have been different for you.
But I was – blessed enough to get Bill Parcells and Todd Haley and Charlie Weiss and Bill Belichick. So I got coaches that did well at their other places, Hall of Fame coaches, by the way, But they came in and they realized and recognized, make him a giraffe and not a gazelle, and he will succeed. If we try to turn him into a gazelle, he ain't going to make it.
But be
what you are. I'm a giraffe. I'm tall.
You're a giraffe?
I'm long. Yeah,
giraffe's
absolutely.
Pretty. Giraffe's pretty.
Long. Go
long
get
neck,
there and get
got
it.
That booty popping out.
Man, if you don't.
I've never heard an athlete compare themselves to a giraffe.
Man, I'm tall. I'm long. I got long neck.
Like a lion. A lion or like a tiger
no,
or
but
panther.
No, but I'm a giraffe. I'm taller than everybody. I could go get the 50-50 balls. Instead of trying to turn me into a gazelle, I'm not Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
So when I'm running around with these other team, I mean, with these other coaches, they think I'm Tyreek Hill. I'm like, no, I'm
look
not.
Look at who the great – I think of Rick Fox as an example of this.
You Pretty Ricky.
Know who, you want to know who can play?
A giraffe.
Like, you know who drafted Rick Fox? Red – he plays for Dean Smith.
Giraffed?
Red Auerbach wants him.
Drafted or drafted?
Red Auerbach wants him. Hold on. Phil Jackson wants him. Look
Red
Auerbach
still
yep,
around?
Yep. He was GMing the Celtics,
so
I think,
he,
back
then. Was he around then? That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm with sorry. The team.
Oh, I don't know, but I know he was. I know he had his. The point is, look where the great basketball minds were, and Rick Fox always pops up.
Pretty
you know what that means? It means he can play, right? Like when the great coaches. Now the question is: does Daboll is he going to be a great head coach, and does he see something in Daniel Jones? I want to show you something about Josh Allen. You brought up his development, mm-hmm. So I looked up the numbers to have him precisely. As a rookie, he was 5-6. Okay, listen to this: 53% completion. 2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns.
12 interceptions.
Not very good.
So like a 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio.
Not very good.
Lost more than he won. Okay.
How about second year?
But he had a giant arm, right? Okay.
Big
second
arm.
Year, 10-6. Doubled the win totals, lost total stayed right there. 59% completion.
A little better.
3,000 yards.
A little better.
20 TDs, 9 interceptions.
Much
so now
better.
It goes 2-to-1 instead of 1-to-1. How about this? Year 3. 13-3. 4,500 yards, 37 TDs, 10 interceptions, almost 4-to-1. Every year he's getting twice as good.
The game is slowing down for him, and he's understanding what the coaches are asking him to do. And the coaches are understanding his ability is different than what they thought. So they implemented stuff that he could be successful at the time, opposed to putting him in harm's way.
So that's my thing. But like, your structure hasn't changed, right? Like, it's been one consistent theme. Whereas Daniel Jones, from Jason Garrett to Freddie Kitchens, it just feels like it's all over the damn
place. That's what I'm saying. So
but that's okay.
Take Daboll.
Okay? It's okay to be all over the place if you get the right guy in there.
But my thing is, does the right guy finally be in there? Give me enough time to learn from the right guy and react
because
have the results, Keith.
Because trajectory, right? You look at Daniel Jones 3 years that he was under Pat Shermer. Then Joe Judge.
Joe Judge, yep.
And then now all of a sudden he's under Brian Daboll. you hit the reset button in his fourth year. Now, all of a sudden, you're treating him like a rookie.
Key one problem.
With a little bit of a sophomore
fourth
touch.
Year.
Key one problem.
I know the money. You
no,
gotta,
no, no, no. They went out and got Tyrod Taylor.
I
so
understand that.
So now, how much runway does he have?
But he's got a little runway. Because if we are giving you, Max, all of the information and you are retaining it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to hold off Keyshawn Johnson. Just what we're asking you to do. But if all of a sudden we giving you stuff that you cannot handle.
Can't take it to the next level.
That the third string quarterback can handle and you're the first string guy, you can't handle it, guess what we're going to do? We're going to move on from your ass. But if we're baby stepping you along the way and you are handling that and we're spoon feeding you in your hand.
But this is Jay's.
That's good.
This is Jay's point. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jay.
Because we ain't ready to win right now anyway.
But if you start year one spoon feeding, okay, then they're starting year four.
But year four is year one.
Not if Tyrod Taylor's ready to take your job in week six.
And not when there's big money on the back end of this now.
But if you're doing everything right when we're
then you'll
full,
hold him off.
Then you're gonna hold him off.
All right,
if
so
all of a sudden you're not holding me off, Max, I'm going to Keyshawn.
So you have no margin for error if
zero.
You're Daniel Jones.
Oh, zero. Zero.
So
none.
What's your probability that he succeeds?
Man, I told you to talk to me in October.
I'm just saying, give me some speculation
talk,
right now.
Talk
50,
to me
50,
in October.
30%?
60-40.
He's
okay.
fast.
Which is low.
By the way, I think okay. he throws a pretty spiral, Daniel
here's
Jones,
part,
and he's
here's
fast.
Here's part of the problem.
Turns the ball
chasing
over.
The cheese.
And he doesn't have Josh Allen's arm.
No, but he doesn't have Josh Allen's arm or body.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is a big
he's
son
a
of
truck,
a gun.
Man.
He's huge. Yeah, yeah. So if I'm trying to get him to do some of the same things Josh Allen is doing, guess what that I'm afraid of? He's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because his medical record tells me he gets hurt. So now as a coaching staff, I got to figure out how to keep him out of harm's way. While implementing something in there in the game plan that gives me some of the same stuff that I gave Josh.
Got to keep both your quarterback and your running back out of harm's way now.
Time to get back to the national championship game in college basketball, which was the hot ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you can earn rewards for every purchase. Vivid Seat Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
I'm a draft.
I think there's been added value put on this one because of what we missed out on in 20.
The nation's number one team.
You know, these goals and these dreams, you know, that we're living right now, we never would have thought of it when we first set foot on campus, but now living it.
I always thought the 2020 team was better, more equipped to do well in the NCAA tournament. After the way these kids have played the last month, I think this team can play with any team that Kansas has ever put on the floor.
Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst with us now. Coach, how surprised were you by how North Carolina handled the last 20 seconds of that game last night?
Seth, you and I talk about this all. How come Hubert Davis did not call a timeout down the stretch? Tell me, what are we missing?
Because that's what – well, it's real simple because that's what they do in practice. That's how they play. As opposed to when people used to kill Roy Williams for calling
too many timeouts.
Actually, at the end of games, never called a timeout in the middle of the game. The one thing about the Carolina way, they don't call timeouts to break runs. They never have, never. And, you know, I think it's part of Coach Smith, and they're all obviously part of the Coach Smith coaching tree. When a team makes a run, North Carolina usually doesn't call a timeout. I thought Hubert might have called a timeout earlier in the Kansas run from his NBA background, because, you know, one thing about the NBA, they use their timeouts to break runs. But let's make this about Kansas now, guys. This is deja vu. This is the Miami game in the Elite Eight. All over again. Second half, Kansas comes out, sits in a stance, is disruptive, disrupts the flow of everything that North Carolina is doing, gets turnovers, gets out in transition. David McCormick stays on the floor. Christian Brown goes back-to-back-to-back with three baskets. Remy Martin's banking shots in. This is about Kansas basically looking in the mirror and saying, how are we going to get back in this game, get stops, be aggressive defensively, get out in transition, and play ahead of that North Carolina defense. That's what this thing's about, man.
Seth, what kind of upper echelon does this put Bill Self into, considering that now he has two championships along with Jay Wright and Rick Pitino, the three coaches now in college basketball that have the most championships?
It's rarefied air. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't change my opinion of Bill Self. Bill Self's one of those guys. He coaches his team and beats you. He coaches your team and beats you. I mean, that's just the way it is. He's an elite coach. He has a gift to connect with players and then strategically, he's not a good defensive coach. He's a great defensive coach. He's an innovative offensive coach. He puts guys in position to play to their strengths. But, you know, Bill Self should have three, because that 2020 team was no joke with Udoka Azubuike. I mean, that team was no joke. He was a mountain masquerading as a man on steroids. I mean, he was big, physical, tough, and everything you did defensively, uh-huh. you had to center around how you were going to defend him.
Seth, I had this moment last night watching Mark Emmert hand over the trophy to Bill Self, calling them the Kansas City Jayhawks. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, my goodness, the NCAA, who still has the Kansas Jayhawks under investigation for all these infractions, is handing over their national championship trophy. What is your perspective on this whole thing? How much of a mess is this for college basketball?
It's not a mess because this team's not going to be impacted. You got to remember now, because of all that investigation that was 100 years ago, it really impacted Kansas's recruiting. I mean, they only have one draft choice on this. That was Jai Abaji. He was a three-star recruit. That team is made up of three- and four-star recruits. So the impact on Kansas has been significant in terms of recruiting, and Bill Self figured out a way to win with them. But it was poetic justice. I want to know if he did it on purpose, though. That's what I want to know. Is Mark Emmert that spiteful that he dropped that on purpose just to kind of get a little dig? Because Bill's got the last dig. Hey, one thing I want to get out before the next question. People are killing Caleb Love right now. Let me tell you something. People are killing Caleb Love. He took the same shots last night that he took against Duke in the second half and made. And against UCLA and made.
Seth.
That's who he is.
I love you. You're my guy. And he took a lot of – he made cut shots at the tournament. But to take a three-point shot 5 steps behind the three-point line with 16, that was a bad shot, Seth. That's okay to say.
Yeah,
that you're allowed to say he's done a lot of great things, but that was a bad shot.
Yeah, it was a bad shot. But you know what? I look back, and you know me, I'm an idiot. I watch every show. So that dude takes a lot of bad shots, but he's a bad shot maker. And, you know, right, that was basically a reflection of the Duke game and the UCLA game. Because I'll tell you what, that shot against Mark Williams, even though he did a great job of reading the ball screen, Williams played drop coverage. He stepped behind it. Look where that shot was from.
Mm. The coach, Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, so when you look at this situation, they won the championship, and these kids on this particular team had nothing to do with the infractions, the violations that the NCAA are investigating with Bill Self in the
Kansas City
Jayhawks.
Chiefs Jayhawks. Praise the Lord.
How should we view this championship by Bill Self in the Kansas City Jayhawks?
One of his greatest coaching jobs that he's had probably in his career. And what I mean by that is just what I said before. I mean, you look at the roster, this is not a championship roster. Now, obviously, in relation to the field is not as good as it has been in the past. But this is not a classic Kansas roster. But look, you know what you do? Look, these kids, we're 5 years removed from that thing, man. We're 5 years removed. Now, look, they're going to pay a price. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, eventually we'll find out. Eventually, you know, the NCAA finally have closure with this situation. Whether it's going to be Bill Self, you know, having to sit out a certain number of games, a fine, 11, you know, who knows what in the end is going to happen. I saw Bruce Pearl only got 2 games this past year. Other people got suspended for a year from the NCAA tournament. But I look at this team as a really special team. Not the most talented team, but a special team. Like I said this on our game day show yesterday. Teams that roles are defined, roles are embraced, and roles are championed can become champion teams if you have enough talent. Seth, and that's exactly what Bill Self did with his team.
Seth Greenberg. No, I'm just kidding. You see, I kept saying Bill Self, but I meant Seth. I meant Self. But look, why does the head coaches get to, I don't know, continue to coach and the assistant coaches have become the scapegoats in these situations? Everywhere you look, whether it was Coach Book at Arizona, whether it was what went on in Auburn, now in Kansas, these dudes are actually like being incarcerated, but the head coaches, Sean Miller got to still coach Arizona before he lost his job. Why is that?
Well, basically, the paper trail ended up on assistant coach's desk. I mean, do I think it's right? No, because there's a thing called head coach accountability. The head coach is responsible for everything that goes on in a program. And I look at you know, book, and book's a dear, dear friend of mine. I mean, and it makes me sick. And what's going on right now with these people that are still, you know, in the courts, Jimmy Gatto being one of them, who worked for Adidas, is totally legal right now. Like, all the things that these people have been accused of and have done is within the rules of the NCAA now, along with NIL. So I think it's just the paper trail. I mean, you can only prosecute people where you have evidence, and the evidence has fallen in the laps of some assistant coaches. Not saying that they're the only people that knew what happened, but you can't prosecute someone on speculation. You can only prosecute someone, and I'm not an attorney. This is a better question for Billis, which he would definitely pontificate for a long period of time.
We don't have enough time for Jay Billis to pontificate right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, I agree with it, but that's why they have head coach accountability in the NCAA. I think that will go away as well. And eventually, there'll be a consequence. You expect that when it happens. Do I think anyone should have gotten incarcerated over this? No, because I didn't look at this as a crime. I looked at it as a bad decision and breaking an NCAA rule, not a federal offense. But I don't know the law.
Seth Greenberg, ESPN College Basketball Analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Seth, Nolan Smith, the assistant coach for Duke, their best recruiter, leaves the program to become the associate head coach over at Louisville. Still hasn't confirmed, but everybody expects that to be the case. Does this make Coach K think about coming back for one more year, considering you have the number one recruiting class in the country? Or is that just absurd to think? Does that best set up John Shire for success?
No, come on. I mean, that sounds like good morning. It's time to get up. The GOAT is unretiring, and it's not Tom Brady. Not happening.
No chance.
No chance. You know what he's – you know, here's my thing, and we talk all the time. Yep. My biggest thing is Coach has no hobbies. You know that. I know that. He likes a little gardening.
That's
you
exactly
can only sit on
point,
that stool
Seth.
So
That's
long.
What is he going to do?
But, you know, to me, 74, 75 years old. I think this season was extremely taxing on him, the expectation and disappointment. Now, do I worry? And, you know, Jay and I talked about this the other day, and he said he's 75 years old. He should enjoy life. He's not wired that way. He hasn't been wired that way for 40 plus years. But do I think it's time for John Shire to, you know, the coach in waiting to become the head coach? And we'll see what happens. He's now, you know, in charge of that program. But when Coach K, after these freshmen decide make their decisions to go to the NBA, and he helps them navigate that, I do have a concern. And I don't know Coach K like you know him, Jay Will, but I do have a concern. What's going to be his why? When he wakes up every morning, he always had a why. That was whatever he could do to help make Duke better. Now, will he get involved in his foundation? Will he get involved in other outside activities to, you know, impact other people's lives in terms of charity work? Who knows? But, you know, when you've done something for that long, I mean, I did it for 33 years. And even now, and I've got a great life and obviously a great platform at ESPN, you miss that. But there's no way in the world he's going to turn around and go and unretire. That's not happening. John Shire is the head coach at Duke, and John Shire has to create his own vision of what Duke's going to look like. Hey, look, he's still got that office in the tower. And I'm sure he's going to have his fingerprints on it, but it's John Shire's program now, and I don't think there's any chance. Now, I do think the one thing, Jay, well, you know, Nolan leaving the Brotherhood to go with Kenny Payne, I am interested, as you, as a member of the Brotherhood, sometimes in good standing, sometimes not so good standing, what is your perception of that, big boy?
I think that's a huge get for Louisville and the ACC. It's going to be, I mean, all these kids in this top recruiting class, they should be expecting a call from Nolan Smith.
Seth Greenberg, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN basketball analyst. Thanks, Coach. Great to hear from you as always.
All right, SG.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate it. All right, buddy.
How will we judge a massive extension that comes without a championship?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, guys, I'm a Carlos Beltran fan. Center fielder with the Royals and obviously the Mets and the Astros, and played for the Yankees a couple of years when he no longer great but still pretty good. But Beltran, I'm a fan of his. You know, listen, I was a big Bernie Williams fan, center fielder for the Yankees. In another era, he'd have been in the Hall of Fame before advanced analytics. And Carlos Beltran, switch-hitting Puerto Rican center fielder who grew up like watching Bernie and stuff and wanted to be a Yankee and everything. I'm good with Carlos Beltran, big-time clutch player, great five-tool player. But how many days is he going to be in the news now as a broadcaster, right? Like, we talked about Beltran calling the Astros title tainted. On Monday, his first Yes Network broadcast, guys, he said, listen to this sound and tell me afterward, do you think he knows something and it slipped, or is he mistaken? Listen to Beltran on Aaron Judge's extension, which doesn't exist yet as far as we know.
Aaron Judge is just such a guy that has so much power. You know, I'm just glad to see him being able to create this new contract with the New York Yankees and being able to extend his stay here in New York. He's an incredible guy. He's a leader in the clubhouse. He's a guy that played the game hard. And I bet the message have to be, like, from Judge, the Yankees are willing to commit like that for so long. And at the same time, you know, they want to build around him. They understand he's a leader. So I'm glad to see Aaron Judge increasing the stay here with the New York Yankees.
Does he know something that we don't?
Sure as hell sounds like
sound
it, right?
Like he does. You know, it's either he knows something and let it slip out by mistake.
But see, I don't
or
think,
he completely screwed up.
I think he just screwed up because when you go into detail about, well, the fact that the Yankees are building around somebody, and he said, you know, to be around him for so long, to extend him for so long, like that's –
sounds like he knows
it
something.
Sounds like he knows something.
For sure.
You know,
that he thinks we all know until he found out that nobody knows.
I've hosted 8 p.m. on CNN, and you can get information from the White House. It's a moratorium from the White House till 8:30. So the first half of the show you're hosting on primetime, you're like, I know this, but I better not mess up. Let me look at the clock. Okay, now we can talk about it, right? Like, this is going back, you know, 15 years or more. I mean, Beltran seems to me, he sounds like a guy to me who knows something about Aaron Judge. I think that's good news for Yankees fans because I'm a Yankees fan. I don't like giving long contracts. Judge is 29 years old already. You cannot let Aaron Judge walk out the door. Can't do it.
No, but he's also setting you up for failure and hopes because what if it's not done? Maybe he jumped the gun because he thinks it's done.
Look, if he has...
Well, why talk that way if you don't know it's done? Like... Play back the sound. Let's listen to what he said again. Play back one more time.
Aaron Judge is just such a guy that has so much power. You know, I'm just glad to see him being able to create this new contract with the New York Yankees and being able to extend his stay here in New York. He's an incredible guy. He's a leader in the clubhouse. He's a guy that played the game hard. And I bet the message have to be, like, from Judge, the Yankees are willing to commit like that for so long. And at the same time, you know, they want to build around him. They understand he's the leader. So I'm glad to see Aaron Judge increasing the stay here with the New York Yankees.
Willing to commit like that for so long.
It's the details.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, how long is the contract?
So he has the information. If he has the information, but shouldn't have told the public, I wonder where he got the information from the horse's mouth.
Well,
that we are close or it's done. I'm just going to announce it in a week.
Listen to this. Brian Cashman said, he didn't hear Carlos Beltran's statements on yes, but check this out. Asked if Aaron Judge has agreed to an extension, Cashman said he would not comment. So there's something there, sounds like to me. Cashman also wouldn't say if the Yankees had made an offer. By the way, Judge has the best power, pure power, in baseball and arguably in baseball history, just in terms of how far he can hit the ball, how big and strong he is. 6'8", 280.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound.
6'7", 6'8".
That doesn't even sound
like a basketball player.
Or 6'7". But the point, and he's also, he hits the ball the other way. He runs the bases well just because he's so big.
Yeah,
he's an excellent defender. He has a rocket arm.
He does it all except stays healthy.
Well,
last year was better.
Yeah, he's been healthier.
Know who else had a hard time staying healthy and whose career stats looked similar to Aaron Judge's, though he was younger? Mickey Mantle, when he was young.
I wasn't around.
Nope.
So
sorry, Max.
Baseball's different than other sports. Like, if you rake in the postseason and your team doesn't win, that's not on you. Does Aaron Judge need to win a World Series? If indeed he has agreed to a long-term contract for tons of money, he needs to win, or does he just need to rake in the postseason?
No, you need one.
Championships
are always my pet peeve, man. I don't care about your stats. I need a championship. If you are supposed to be great, baseball's not, it's a team sport, you know, it's very hard if you just by yourself. I don't care.
See, I don't want to be labeled as great that didn't get one, especially for a team that hasn't got one since 2009.
What about a great who might not get another? Will LeBron win another title in Los Angeles?
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
So, Jay, I understand you were at
soccer practice matchup.
Is this the first time that you said a matchup or practice?
Well, you know, everything's a matchup in my mind.
But is this the
we're
first
here
time?
To win. We're
this
here to compete.
This is your first year having to be a soccer dad.
Yeah, I'm full-time this year. I'm really going to commit myself.
You know what I'm saying? It's the first time you having to go with the lawn chairs and sit out there and have people
sit
walk
out there
up to you
and
talk
and watch
to you
a coach
when you don't
who
want
can't
to talk
really
to
coach.
Them.
Yes.
And critique the coach that can't coach, that thinks he knows what he's doing.
This is where I need advice from you. So yesterday I'm watching practice. My daughter, kids are out there. She's 3 years old.
Really big, I'm sure.
She's bigger than a lot of other kids.
Runs better?
Yes.
More coordinated?
There is elite athlete DNA in her bones and her blood. But
just tell her don't try to fight the coach.
A lot of kids are staring at butterflies. A lot of kids were like
picking their nose.
I'm like, focus on the damn game here. Like,
picking,
score
picking
the goal.
The nose.
How old are they?
3.5 years old. But then
so he added the half.
I got the.
They're 3 year old.
I got other dads like, oh man, tough game. I'm like, I didn't come over here to talk to your ass about the Duke Carolina game. Like, I came here to coach my daughter.
See, you know, let me be. You know, so you're coaching, or you're not coaching, I'm not but really, you're helicoptering.
Well, the coach can't really coach.
So you're helicoptering.
So I'm, yeah.
You're getting in the way of the coach. Who's trying to coach your daughter, but he really can't coach, and you don't want to have her being coached by somebody that can't coach, but you want to put her on the team because the rest of the neighborhood is on that team,
yes.
And you all get along.
You got
and
it.
You have your wine, and you do the whole deal.
And my wife is worse than me. My wife is more intense than me.
But let me tell you how to handle that. Be antisocial. I'm just telling you.
But see, I'm standing in the corner away from everybody.
Yeah. And get a nice view.
I can't be the only black guy at the soccer match. Oh yeah.
So what
yes.
you think? I'm the only black dude at soccer matches and basketball games? Yes. Yes. At where I lived for many years, I was the only black guy in the stands. Trust me.
I don't want to alienate. You know what I mean? You want to be part
of
the community.
I'm not alienating. I am part of the community, but I don't need you talking
to me. He wears a yarmulke when he goes to the practice.
I didn't say any of that, Max. I'm just saying I'm not part of the little Johnny crowd.
And then we do got little Johnny on the team, and he's very touchy with the rest of the girls, and I need to have a real conversation with him and his parents about it because I don't like it. You're not supposed to be handsy when you play soccer.
Man, leave the little boy alone.
It's just the wrong standard.
What's so funny is because I got lots of friends who are world-class athletes. Our kids play together. The difference between a civilian kid, my kids are like normal looking, and a world-class athlete's kids, like, damn, what is that
totally
kid lifting
tell.
Weights? 3 years old? Like,
oh, you can totally tell.
Oh, you can tell early.
Man, my daughter, when London was playing soccer. And Al Harrington, basketball player, daughter's playing soccer. Man, she looked like she was 15 years old. It was like 4 years old. She was so big. I was like, interesting. Candace Parker, daughter, huge.
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 This competition, who's bringing all the fruits and the snacks? I can't do that.
Teach you how to stand off to
We're
the
back yeah. in exactly 10 seconds.
Yes. Be cool.
G-Sean, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to hear a stat that sounds like it's not real?
What?
Jason Maples got this. Ready for this? Donovan Mitchell, you want to know if that whole thing with Rudy Gobert and the COVID thing and everything is real in terms of the beef with these two and the dysfunction
sure
on the
real.
Team? But listen to this one, Jay. This is a mind blower. Donovan Mitchell is averaging 2 passes, not assists, I'm just talking about passes, per game to Rudy Gobert, despite the fact that they share the floor for 30-plus minutes a night.
What? You think that's deliberate? I mean, I don't know.
Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
What?
How could it not
be? Rudy's game just don't fit with Donovan Mitchell. So let me tell you.
Two passes in 30 minutes?
Where are you passing him in the rock? And
why? He's not posting
up
yet.
And if you're passing the ball, I'm looking at you like, Donovan, why the hell are you passing Rudy Gobert?
Could roll to the basket once in a while, wouldn't kill him.
On a roll, but yeah, it's not a pick and pop. Like, he's not a priority offensively. Yeah.
So Donovan Mitchell's going to be a Nick next year? That's what I heard. I mean. That's what we've been saying, right? Like, he's from the area.
Yeah,
like,
guy who doesn't pass
from
perfect.
Connecticut. Like, he's going to be a Nick next year, right?
And that or Russell Westbrook. Which one do you want?
Donovan Mitchell.
Is that even a
question?
He's young and
Westbrook, Donovan. Westbrook 10 years ago.
By the way, I got a whole other thing.
Sure,
this is off
Keith,
the beaten
thanks.
Path.
I don't have a time machine, though.
If the Lakers said you can have AD Knicks, but you have to take Westbrook with them, so you get Westbrook and AD if you're the Knicks, we get to take whatever we want off your team. Draft picks, players, whatever. Would the Knicks say no to that?
Give up R.J. Barrett for that?
AD and Westbrook at Madison Square Garden?
I mean, well, that's really...
What do they have right now that
really
they're going to build around?
It's really Westbrook.
But will LeBron...
I'm not sure
Barrett
AD can
back.
Play a lot of games.
Well, if I'll take the chances if you're the Knicks.
But would the Lakers want R.J. Barrett back?
That's the thing.
Why would you set your franchise back when you've been building all these good young assets? You trade all your assets.
They're okay
for
assets.
You've been working your ass off to get these assets, and you're telling me you're going to trade them for AD and Russell Westbrook?
I don't think they have enough value to get you AD and Russell Westbrook, to tell you the truth.
You might got enough value to get Westbrook.
Yeah, right, but I'm saying
really
with AD.
Buying the contract. You really get
speaking
tripping.
Of well,
that,
Anthony
no, that's
Davis.
Interesting. Like, would they take on, like, would they have to throw in AD to get a team to take Westbrook?
This,
like,
wait, this is what I'm
that
saying.
That is super interesting, but, Max.
Okay, this is what I'm saying about the Knicks in particular. Oh, we're going to get this guy, we're going to get that guy. They haven't had a truly great player since Carmelo Anthony. Before that, the last truly great one they had was Patrick Ewing. All right, two truly great players forever.
So now I'm in the East.
Yep.
I'm dealing with
KD Kyrie.
And you got Westbrook and AD.
I'm dealing with KD Kyrie. I'm dealing with Embiid. And I'm just thinking about the big portion of it with AD. Because Westbrook,
Westbrook, guys, Westbrook in the right situation, put some
this,
shooters
I
around.
I know you've been saying it all year. It just came to fruition 2 weeks ago. Got it.
Yeah.
But when you start to think about it, the East with AD, who is AD better than? In the East.
You at least have an answer
is he better,
when he's on
is
the
he
court.
Better, is he better than
Embiid.
Giannis, Embiid,
no.
Siakam?
When he's healthy, AD is on that level. He's on the Giannis, Embiid, KD. You have
every
a guy.
Every conversation is framed around when he's healthy.
Well, that's why you could get him, maybe.
Yeah, but why would you want him if you don't know that he's going to give you 70 games a year?
Because what
is
the Knicks?
You know?
Guys, let's look at this soberly for a second. What do the Knicks actually have right now?
You have R.J. Barrett. You have Emmanuel Quickley. You're trying to find out what Obi Toppin.
R.J. Barrett, you're hoping eventually could be an all-star, but it's far from certain. And Quickley could be a nice sixth man, right? We're talking about
a lot of draft picks.
You
have to give up a lot of draft picks for that on top of players.
Yeah, you're going to have to. If you're the Lakers, it's like we have LeBron in a rebuild.
Yeah, and I'll take that.
You're going to take it.
If I'm the Lakers.
If I'm the Knicks, I might too.
No, but Max, you're telling me you're going to give up all your assets for those two players and then build what around them? And then that leaves you where in 5 years?
I'll tell you why. Well, you have to keep, obviously, you keep a few pieces.
Westbrook is on a one-year expiring deal at $47
million. $47
million
next year.
Yeah,
but then it expires.
But then he expires.
Right, so you have AD and cap space.
But he's already expired now. So I'm giving up all that to get AD because once he expires, he may leave and go play for somebody else.
You're the Knicks. You have what you have. And someone, even if you say no, you can't pretend you don't have to seriously consider that offer.
If you're Anthony Davis, why the hell would you want to stay here? If you just give up your entire roster for me, now how are you building around me?
Because
do I want to be a part of a rebuild at the stage of my career that I'm at now? No, not – I'm going to walk away. I'm going to take money from somewhere
else. You can be the signature player in the biggest market in the world.
Stop for 50 games a year.
It makes no sense.
I disagree that it makes no sense.
For 50 games.
50 to 60.
Yeah. I'm not doing that if I'm Leon Rose in West Ham. I'm not doing that.
Huh?
I'm not giving you everything.
Don't fall in love with the cheese, man.
AD and Julius Randle, a little reunion almost.
God.
I'm telling you, the Knicks would have to seriously consider
it. I can only imagine how many people are screaming at you right now.
That would sit on my desk, and I would slide it right off to
if
the
you
garbage.
Keep, if I'm the Knicks and I look at that, I'm like, where are we actually going right now? And if AD can ever get right in terms of at least getting back to 60-plus games a year, Westbrook, whatever he does this year, his contract is off the books the following year, and I have a superstar in the market.
Ludicrous.
So you're
paying for superstars and not win anything. That's really great.
Magic Johnson, Basketball Hall of Famer, obviously. Magic. Why do I even say Basketball Hall of Famer? It's Magic Johnson.
Greatest point guard in NBA history. Don't
was
say
on
word,
this John. Show yesterday, and he talked about why he doesn't think the Lakers can trade AD. Listen.
I would love to see AD just be healthy, but he has to change things himself to be healthy, right? And so that's a move, Max, but I don't think with all that's going on, you have to stand up and say, you know what, I can take the heat, and I don't think they can take the heat on trying to trade AD.
Did you hear what he said? This man just said, but AD has to change things himself. I'm trying to tell you, man. For me, having Magic on is, first off, it's always a dream because he always provides. He gives you elements or crumbs of a blueprint to follow. But, man, yesterday felt like it was at Rob Pelinka so many times for the moves he made with the Lakers. And that goes to my question about AD, about if you're – it seems like they're trapped. And what I keep hearing from people around the league is how AD trains in the offseason, where it doesn't feel like he comes back and he's more prepared.
But doesn't that good news in the sense that you can change that? You can't change your natural talent, your height and stuff. Yeah, you can have a guy.
How long does that conversation need to continue to happen for you to change that, though?
Well, I mean, with Key's analysis from earlier in the show on this, Key. I think if AD, you got him there already, you've won a championship with him. If you're not going to get real fair value for him, you might as well try to talk him into working out better in the offseason and all that stuff, because he and LeBron are a deadly combination when on the floor together.
Here's when you go back to a dominant player in the NBA and Shaq. When Shaq decided that he was going to work out and come back looking different, he was a different player. He decided, I don't feel like eating Twinkies anymore. I'm going to work out and just come back and ball. Magic just said it's all about AD making that decision and the determination and the willpower to do those things. It's on him and AD to – on AD to make the decision. If Jay is saying that from what his allies are saying around the league is that AD is not a strong workout freak, it's up to him to become a workout freak, or else he's going to continue to have issues staying healthy.
At least that's possible, though. He can do that.
Can he? Well, has he done it before? Is there day-to-day showing us that?
I'll say
you're
this.
You're telling me when the legend Magic Johnson says that about a player and his work ethic, you want to bring that player here to New York and trade all the assets?
Well, let's leave him on the Lakers for a second.
Leave him on the Lakers.
First,
thank you.
Won a championship. He outplayed Jokic. Then last year they were better than the Suns. The Suns,
who got
to the finals and are going to go back maybe this year. Until they got hurt, LeBron and AD and a supporting cast were better than the Suns. It's in there somewhere.
Different team.
He can stay healthy.
Different team last year, Max.
From quarterback carousel to the wideout wheel, that's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.